Hey, this is Ali Ciardo, and today I'm answering questions about building a team of associate photographers.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Hey there, this is Ali Ciardo, and today I'm doing a solo show. I got a great list of questions from another photographer who's thinking about starting an associate program for herself, and I asked her if I could just go ahead and record the answers here because I think that it's really useful for a lot of you too. All right, before I jump in, I do want to tell you about a couple great resources that I have on photofieldnotes.com. So first off, if you go to photofieldnotes.com/crash course, you know I have my 3-day crash course that's going to give you the ins and outs of how I built my own 6-figure photography business. So it's 3 days, video courses that will walk you through a ton of information from my own brain, and I think it's really useful, so check that out. You can also check out my shop for a couple of different guides that I use with my clients that's made life so amazing, I can't even tell you. So check those out all at photofieldnotes.com along with show notes, and I think that's it. So let's jump in. All right. So first off, I will say when I actually got the idea to start my own associate program because of this podcast. So I interviewed Sarah Allen, and you can listen to that interview at, it's called How Sarah Allen Grew One Love Photography to a Team of 40 People. So if you look for Sarah Allen, spelled S-A-R-A, Allen, on photofieldnotes.com and listen to that interview, that's a really good place to start. And then I'll also say that there are a couple of different ways to run your associate program. So she does hers a little bit differently than mine. And let me get into the questions and you'll kind of see what I mean. I'll kind of compare and contrast. Okay. First question for me, how long have you been working with associate wedding photographers? I started in 2015 with my first associate wedding in 2015. And I started with 3 photographers, which I think is a little bit unusual. I think that a lot of people, when they kind of dip their toe into the associate photographer realm, they start with just 1 photographer who they've worked with for a long time as a second shooter. And this actually kind of segues nicely into the next question. So the next question is, how do you determine if they're good enough? And this is really, really important. I think the people that you bring onto your associate team are everything. So the reason that I ended up with 3 was because I happened to have connections to 3 photographers who I completely trusted and who I had worked with. I think that's key number one, is it has to be somebody who you've worked with personally. So I recommend starting with somebody who is a second photographer who's shot weddings with you. You have trust with them, you have a relationship with them, you see their shooting style, you know that they're confident with shooting in the same style as you, and obviously really important, you know that you feel confident in the way that they interact with people. And there are some people who are really great second photographers who like to just kind of like play it a little bit quieter, step into the background, and they take beautiful shots that way. But obviously, if you have someone coming on who's going to be leading the day, you want to make sure that they can step up and really lead, because obviously there are parts of the wedding day that are going to be that are going to just require that leadership, require somebody to be able to step out there and get people in place and tell them what to do and direct them when they're taking portraits and so forth. So determining if they're good, you have to work with them. I think that's key number one. So I wouldn't just, for me, I wouldn't just go out there and, so this is interesting because Sarah Allen actually does, she kind of has a more traditional hiring process where she might even put out an ad and advertise that she's hiring people, but she has a training process that she puts them through. And I think within that, she can kind of probably, you'd have to ask her specifically, but I think she can weed them out from there and make sure that these people are really good. So she puts them through, I think, so don't quote me on this, but I think probably more of like a workshop style where she's teaching them step one, step two, step three, and making sure that she's making sure that they're ready to go from there. Where what I'm doing is I'm kind of vetting people over time by working with them at weddings. So those are kind of 2 different approaches in terms of making sure that you're working with the right people. But yeah, people, number one, associates, like people are everything because those people are going to be representing your brand. All right. The next question is, how many weddings do you personally shoot per year and how many do they shoot for you? Huh, this is the big question that I'm always asking myself. Last year, I think I shot 28 weddings personally last year. And then in total, I think we had about 46 weddings. My goal this year was to only shoot 15 weddings. So I think at this point I have 18 because I'm working on saying no, but I'm not great at it. And then I think in total, I think they have another 10. So we'll probably end up at about, we're at 28 now. We might end up at like 30 or so. We'll see. It just depends on how good I am at saying no. Ideally, I would love to get to where Sarah Allen is, where she's shooting 10 per year and then her associate team is shooting the rest. Right now, last year was about 50-50 split. This year, I'm shooting kind of the majority as it is right now. I'd like to be shooting a little bit less and having them do more. There's no right answer in this. For me, it's all about what I want my lifestyle to look like. Well, part of the reason that I have more is because I do have some Friday weddings, and I'm all about Friday weddings because then I still have that weekend time with my family. Jeff works a pretty traditional schedule Monday through Friday, so we have talked, you know, again and again about what we really want, how much I want to make, what does the budget look like, and the way we've worked it out is that I feel very good shooting 15 weddings, and, you know, like I said, ideally a little bit less in the future, but then I get these great inquiries and I, like, can't say no, so that's my weakness. Okay, how do I advertise my associates? Another great question. Here's how I do it. Here's where there are two kind of different ways to go about advertising an associate. Way number one, that in both can be completely successful. It's just a matter of how you want to do it. Way number one that I've seen people do that's very successful is as soon as you go to your website, you go to their website and it's very clear that they have a team and they feature that team. And Sarah Allen does this very well. So again, check out One Love Photography to see this way of doing it. So if you go on Sarah's website, it has photos of each team member. It has bios for each team member. You really get to go through and check them all out and get to know them right off the bat. For me, when you go to my website, the majority, pretty much everything that I show on my website is actually my personal work. So I'm advertising the Allie. So it used to be Allie Ciardo Photography, and I've transitioned it into Allie & Co. Photography. I'm really, really pushing the Allie side of that to get people in, and they get to know my personality, and they get to like me from that perspective. And then I do say I have associates who shoot in a similar style to me. I manage the wedding day details, all the meetings, and I do the editing in the signature Allie & Co. style. So the way that I manage it in terms of getting people to sign up to work with associates is when they inquire with me, they give me a budget range from a drop down. So I kind of have an idea because I do charge a little bit more for myself versus associates. So I kind of have an idea of where ideally they might fall, and that might help me direct them. This is really helpful. I also later realized I should add the question, if Allie is not available, are you interested in working with an associate photographer with a similar style? And I think literally in the entire time that I've had that up, I might have had one or two people say no. The majority of people say yes, that they're interested in that. So what I have traditionally done is I will usually book the dates myself, or book, you know, the number of weddings that I want to book for myself first. And then as those dates start to book up, or it's a weekend that I'm trying to block off, or I have the number of weddings that I want, or maybe it's a budget that's just a little bit less and maybe doesn't quite fit within the packages that I offer for myself, then I respond and I say, I'm not available on that day. Or I might say, I think an associate would be a better fit for you. And some actually do say, hey, I think an associate would be a better fit for me for where my budget is. So that's how I do it. I advertise myself, and then in my contact form, I have them fill out, are you interested in an associate photographer if I'm not available? And also, you know, if budget doesn't fit. But that's how I do it. From there, so the way that they want to see the work first. Some people will say, okay, if they have multiple associates, they'll say, I'm going to fit you with the associate who's the best fit for you based on what I think. For me, I do send them the portfolios. So the way that I currently do that is I just send them, I tag each associate's Pixie Set Gallery with that name. So at this point, they've shot weddings for me. They have plenty of weddings to show. So I just link to like pixieset.com/that person, that associate, and they can look at all their weddings in full. And then they can say, I really feel drawn toward this person, or I really feel drawn toward this person. I also give a little blurb about each associate to just talk about their personalities and their strengths. And if they've given me a little bit in their contact submission about who they are, what they're like, then I sometimes have it's really kind of fun to say, I feel like you're going to be a great match for this person. And I can actually direct them toward the person who I think is the best personality match for them, or maybe style match for them on just like little differences, because everybody has slight differences. So I give them a blurb about each person and I show them their portfolio. If you don't have a full portfolio of weddings from that person yet, here's what I recommend. First, you should have obviously worked with this person before, and you should have some second shooting images that they've done. So just put together a gallery from the second shooting images, either full weddings of their second shooting or just one gallery is where I started. Just one gallery that shows highlights of their work from the weddings that you have edited for them, so that they've shot for you and that you have edited for them. So it does show exactly what that person's going to get in terms of photography style, editing style, etc. Put that into a gallery. And when they inquire and say, yes, I'm interested in an associate, then you can send them that portfolio. So I don't have their portfolios in any public place. I only have my work publicly. And then once they get in touch, they can see all of the associate work and then feel really confident with their decision. So I hope that helps. That's how I do it. There's no right or wrong way to do it, but that's worked really well for me. All right, next question. How do you set up payment with them? Do you pay by the hour or the percentage of gig? I originally paid 50-50. And then I did find that I wanted to do some things for the associate clients, like gifting and other marketing things, and just some of the expenses that I think are on top of just kind of like managing the business and things that come out on top of just the work from that specific wedding. So now I do have it on an hourly rate where it's a really great hourly rate. And then I added just a little bit of extra buffer into the package so that I could give the clients a gift and have a marketing budget to actually market and continue to drive those weddings toward associates. So mostly it's that gifting and it's those touch points that I like to spend time on. So, and the other reason that I raised it a little bit and made it hourly is because I wanted to have a little bit of extra budget for outsourcing. So I do the majority of the editing myself, but I did set I would say relatively small budget, just a couple thousand dollars per year to start outsourcing. I started last year to be able to outsource weddings so that if I do have multiple per week, I always know that I have that option and that I can keep my head on straight and continue to deliver really outstanding service to my clients. Next question. What about an assistant or second shooter for them? Do they provide one or do you? And how has that cost worked out for them? Ooh, I like that question. Okay. Second photographer. Typically, I will manage the second photographer. I will ask them. So I have a good network of second photographers who I've worked with, who I will hook them up with. If they have somebody who they have worked with consistently, or maybe it's somebody we both know, that's even better. And I'll say, do you prefer to work with this person? And if they do, then I'll try to get that person. And if they don't mind or they're good with the person that I'm working with, I'll give them that one. I do manage second photographers for them. And that's above and beyond in the budget. So when I have a second photographer in the package, I make sure it's an add-on the way that I sell it in my package. So that's kind of budgeted in separately. So make sure when you bring in second photographers, you're budgeting enough not only to pay the second photographer, but also for the extra time it's going to take you to call and edit those photos. Whether you're doing it yourself and you're spending time on it or you're outsourcing it, that's going to cost you money. So make sure that you're budgeting that in. Assistants are kind of a different matter. The way that I've worked that out with my associates is I say, if you want to bring on an assistant to help you with gear, you are welcome to bring someone in and pay them yourself. And I give them a pretty good day rate. So it does leave a little bit of wiggle room where if that's something that they want to do, they are welcome to do it. I've had some who do that and I've had some who don't. So it's really up to them. I just make sure they kind of run it by me first so that I can know who it is and run it by the couple too, just so that they know that's going to be happening, especially when there's a meal involved, so that if the couple has to feed that assistant, we want to make sure that that's taken care of. Do you have the payment from the couple come to you and then you pay the associate? Yes, I manage all of the payments and then I pay the associate as a subcontractor. So they are an independent business. They can take or leave each job as I give it to them. They're using their own gear. It's really important that you keep things legal the way that you do this. So they use their own gear. I pay them for each specific job. I never guarantee jobs. It's just kind of a one-off one and done job. Each one's its own individual thing. And I take the money from the client. I do all of the management of the job. I do the majority of the communication with the client. And then occasionally they'll want to just hop on the phone or meet with the associate photographer beforehand if they can't work out to do an engagement session before. And I would say all of my associates have been really happy to do that because it's nice if you know the person ahead of time and you feel comfortable with them. So they've been really cool about meeting with them or talking with them on the phone because I've done the majority of the work there in terms of vetting the person and answering the questions. So at that point, it's usually just a quick conversation to say, hey, I'm really excited to meet you. Let's make sure our personalities match. We feel good about things. So that's how I manage that particular part. All righty. Do you edit these weddings or outsource them or have an associate do it? I do manage the editing. I do the majority, like I said. I do outsource occasionally just to keep up on things. And as it turns out, actually one of the associates does do some editing as an outsourcer, but I contract her separately for that work. So when she's doing the initial editing, I contract her, she does it, and then I'll bring it back, just double check everything. And then I will get everything uploaded. I'll pick a few. What I do is I pick favorites for black and white, so I still end up picking those out and batch converting them to black and white and then uploading everything and setting it up for the client. So that's how I do that one. Alrighty. Who I outsource to, I know I've talked about this in past episodes. Mostly to that associate who does have a boutique editing service too. So I'll outsource to her when I do outsource. And I've tried other services, but I really prefer the individual. So that's what I do for outsourcing. Let's see. Do you handle the pre-wedding consultation or have the associate photographer do all the communication? I think it's really key that I handle the majority of the communication. That's my job. That's what I'm getting paid to do. So I will handle the initial meeting to sell the package, figure out the package, book the package. I'll handle the payments. I handle the touch points in terms of sending out those weekly emails with tips and sending the gifts and sending reminders and sending out the questionnaire a month before. I put together a PDF with the schedule and the contact information of everybody and just all the details, the family list, who's going to call out the names of the family list as they're going. Everything is worked out ahead of time. And then, like I said earlier, the associate might have a quick meeting, just a quick call, just to be like, hey, we're excited, we're good to go. Do you have any questions? All right, awesome. But really, I am the person, and I say that right from the get-go. I will be managing the details. I will be managing the editing and taking care of the majority, and they're just going to come that day and have an amazing wedding day and take awesome photos and like interact with the client, have a wonderful experience on the actual wedding day. Okay. Do your associate packages include albums and products or just time and files? I build it for both my associates and for myself. I have kind of a base package that just includes time and files. And then they have a la carte options that they can add on. And then I also do have a bonus structure. So when they reach a certain price point, they start to get bonuses. Like once they spend a certain amount, they can get a really basic album. Once they spend a certain amount, they get an engagement session built in. So I build that all into my pricing. And quite a few of my associate clients do end up purchasing some form of products after the wedding, but it's not always necessarily built in. So it's kind of, I do it very a la carte. I don't have set packages. I let my clients take my base package of, usually it's a 7-hour base package if it's a weekend wedding, and then add on hourly, add on second photographer, and add on other things like that. But they do have the bonus structure that does get them some products included in both cases. Okay, how do you deal with keeping the name, their name and business, basically balancing their name and their business compared to your name and your business because they might have their own photography business? Another really good question. So the associates that I work with, they do all have their own businesses and they know that they're representing me. And that's part of the reason that if I had somebody who was just on my team and solely working for me, I think I would probably put them a little bit more at the forefront on my website and have the about information and everything. But because they do run their own businesses and some of them are in different areas of the state, but I don't want to step on their own toes because they are shooting some of their own work. So the way that I do that is A, I only show their work in a portfolio after the client contacts me. It's not in a public place. I only use their names. I don't use, obviously, their business names. They have business cards that are with my business information to hand out when they're at the wedding. And in their contracts, it's very, very important that you have a contract with your associates and with anybody that you're working with, second shooters or associates, so that they know that, of course, they're representing your company and not their own. And when someone asks, they're giving out your cards. This is another thing where you just need to make sure you're working with people, the right people, people who you trust, who have the best interest for everyone at heart. They know that this is your wedding that you're managing, and the best way to handle it professionally is that they're representing you. And obviously, they're not trying to go in there and market their own businesses when they're at your wedding. So in terms of social media, I give them credit when they post. When I post an image that was taken by an associate, I give them credit by name, but I don't necessarily tag them because in some cases their social media is their business. And I think that that would really confuse my clients if I was suddenly tagging this business that they've never heard of in social media. So instead of tagging the business or the Instagram name or the Facebook name or the person even, I'll just give them credit by name. Now, I do have a private Facebook group for all of my brides each year, and I do invite my associates to join that group. So they could, you know, I'm not hiding it. If they were to ask, do they have another business? Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's anything to be ashamed in that. And I will say, if somebody wants to know the way that it works, I'll completely explain it to them. And I don't think that there's anything shady about it whatsoever. So if they want to, you know, friend that person and they go in and they end up friending them on Facebook and they see that they have another business, you know, it really doesn't concern me if they want to do that. I don't want to feel like I'm hiding anything, but I also don't want to confuse my clients. So that's all I've got to say about that. How do you handle or prepare for liability issues, such as if a wedding photographer messes up on the wedding for some reason, corrupted cards, misses shots, complaints from the couple, and liability insurance, and just general complaints? So again, this goes down to hiring the right people. In any business, if you're going to bring in a contractor or you're going to hire an employee, you're going to want to make sure that you're bringing in somebody who you absolutely trust. When I used to run my market research business and when we hired people for that, it was the same issue. If I hired somebody who was going to just completely blow it and make our company look bad, then that would not be in my best interest. So obviously the stakes feel really high. Like, you're definitely not going to bring someone on who you don't trust to show up on time, really ideally early to the wedding day, to do their absolute best to get the shots. Obviously knowing that we're all human and things can happen, but just knowing that they're going to do as good a job as you would do on that wedding day, and that they're going to interact really well, and that people are going to really enjoy working with them, that they're going to have backup gear, they're going to have liability insurance, they're going to treat that wedding like they would treat their own wedding, that they're going to take it really seriously. I do also try to ask my couples how things went. And fortunately, a lot of them will send emails after the fact anyway. They'll just, since I send an email the day after the wedding, a lot of them will reply and just say, oh my gosh, it went so well. Thank you. I'm so excited. So I love getting that feedback. If I don't hear anything, or, you know, they just don't have time to get back to me, I might try to just email them and say, hey, how did everything go? Just to get feedback. And luckily, it's been good. So if you hear something negative, that's a pretty big red flag where you would want to make sure you're taking action. But and the other thing that I do with that is I say when I'm marketing that I am working with each associate. I've worked with each associate to make sure that they shoot in a similar style to me. And so knowing that we're all different people and we're all going to shoot just slightly differently, I do make a point to make sure that each photographer knows this is the lens that I would use in this situation. This is how I would light the situation. And so I'm reinforcing that every single time. And I actually was doing videos for a while where every single time I would go to edit the photos, okay, maybe not every time, for a handful of weddings anyway, I would try to give feedback. So it would either be, I would say for every wedding, it would at least be a couple quick notes just to say, hey, this looks awesome. Hey, think about this with lighting, maybe move this over here or put a gel on this. And then I did also do some videos where I would actually just record my screen in Lightroom and say, hey, check this out right here. If you move them over here just a little bit, you've got this, and, you know, just giving them feedback. So I think it's really important after every single wedding to either meet in person. Ideally, I do the videos because not my all of my associates live right in town, but I feel like email can feel so insensitive sometimes. Like it's just so it lacks personality if I'm just like, fix this. And it's missing the part where I'm like, but you did a really good job. So if they're not in town or you can't meet with them in person, if you can record a video or just record your voice even and say, or just get on the phone and say, hey, this is what looks really great. These are the few things that I would maybe try next time, and give that feedback so that they're always improving and always moving toward being the best they can be. And I will tell you, I have learned so much for myself from doing this. So as I'm giving them feedback, I'm like, yeah, I need to remember that myself every time too, because it's really easy to notice it and say it. But you know, there are things that we can all learn from. So don't be too proud to know that you can learn from your associates just as much as they can learn from you. All right. What do I love about having associates? I think it's really fun to have kind of that feeling of having a team, even though they're contractors and they're their own separate businesses. I just love that sense of kind of expanding and being a bigger team and propping each other up, and really like all of us are helping each other out. They're helping me in the sense that I can scale my business in a way that I couldn't necessarily scale it on my own by they're shooting when I can be home with my family. That's huge for me. That's such a big thing. So I love that they can be shooting when I'm not, or we could be shooting at the same time. I love just the positive energy around it. It's really cool. It's a really good feeling all in all. But the biggest thing for me is the reason I started ASE is because I loved the idea of being able to have someone shooting and scaling the business that way so that I could spend more time with my family. Any other suggestions that I have from building my team of associate photographers? Let's see. I think the biggest thing is don't rush into it too much. If you don't feel like you already have someone who's a great fit, don't necessarily just go looking for someone. If I'm looking to expand my team of associate photographers, I would probably say give yourself a year to get into that. Say, I'm going to bring on someone as a second photographer, and I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and make sure that they're right. Another way to go about it is to find someone who is running a full-time business themselves and is just interested in filling in some gaps. So it's perfectly fine if you just want to start by having somebody do maybe 1 to 5 weddings, like just a handful of weddings, where they might have their own 20 weddings booked somewhere, 25 weddings booked somewhere, but they're saying, you know what, I think I have time. I think I have capacity to shoot a few extra weddings, but I don't have capacity to manage a few extra weddings. There are a ton of people, think about that. A lot of photographers who run their own full-time businesses also second shoot on the weekends and love it. So why wouldn't they want to associate shoot and get paid a little bit more for that, but not have that extra burden of managing the client and editing the photos? So there are quite a few people out there who are full-time photographers who have the capacity to expand and help you expand by shooting some extra weddings. But you have to make sure you've worked with them in some capacity and you've taken the time to really get to know their style, what gear they use, make sure they're insured, make sure that they are their own legit business, not just somebody who has the gear and does the shooting. So make sure that you're checking that out on everybody that you work with. And that does it for the questions. My gosh, that was a lot. And you got to hear me ramble for a little while. And I hope it was helpful to you. But yeah, if you're really interested in considering the associate program, I'd say look at who's already second shooting with you and see if maybe if they are a fit, if they are interested, if you do have that trust in them, have that conversation and just start with one and start slow and don't even put it on your website. Just maybe once they contact you, just say, hey, I'm not available that day, but this person is. Or even, hey, I'm available at this rate and this person's available at this rate. Whatever feels right for you, go ahead and try it. But I think that's the best way to dip your toe in, is to either not say anything about it until they email you and then say, oh, I do have this person available on my team. Or just put that in your contact form. If I'm not available on this date, are you interested in an associate? Yes or no? That's what the dropdown looks like. So start with that and let me know how this goes for you. If you decide to implement something like this, I would love to hear about it. So you can contact me on photofieldnotes.com. You can find me on Instagram at @AllieCiarto. And if you have a list of questions that you want to ask me on any topic related to photography, I would love to answer them in a future episode. So just send them to me through my contact form and keep listening. I will see you next week and take care.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.